Today's Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev in Daf Chof Aleph. And we begin 5 lines from the top, a very good way to start the Daf, with Gufa, which means we're going to review what we did yesterday. So we'll just jump right in. Gufa. Yesterday we had a Braisa. Today we're going to have the whole Braisa discussed. Gufa usually means that you're going to repeat or discuss an entire concept. When it says Omar Mar, it often refers back to just a smaller piece. In any event, Gufa. The Gemara begins and says, we learned in the Braisa yesterday, Lo hutru pasi biroz, el lebeva bovat. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we had a whole discussion about this. We said that the idea that the Chazal allowed pasi biroz to work, these right angle, one by one amma boards, the one amma board and a one amma board that were put together at right angles, being 10 tefachim tall, and they can have a depth, a width of any amount, that's not important, but it has to be at least 6 tefachim, one amma coming out at right angles from the other 6 tefach, one amma board. This was only permitted for your animals to drink. Lebehema bilvai, for the only regolim behemos, when you're going up to Yerushalayim, so they needed to have watering stations on the way, when people were traveling through the deserts, through the various areas where there was no water available, so these wells or pits were allowed to be used. That's a quick hazara, the pasi biros that we had so far in the parak. But that was only for the animals. Aval Adam, a person, he should go inside the well, we said. Metafes v'olam, metafes v'yarid. We said, yesterday Rashi says, y'ochez v'yod v'ragel b'ksalim. You lower yourself down by pushing against the two side walls. The well is small enough, the pit is small enough that you can go down that way and drink from inside and then climb back up. However, if the well is too big, the pit is too big, that you can't hold on to both sides, didn't have ladders there, so then in this situation you could lower a bucket and bring up the water. A person would be able to take water from the well in that fashion without having to go into the well. However, but a person shouldn't go and take water from this well and just give it to his animal. Now, this is, we had a whole discussion on this yesterday. We had two versions exactly of how this went. We're not going to go through that again today. Just remind ourselves, however, it says, Lo yimali odam mayim v'yitim l'fnei behem. So you not only go fill up the bucket with water and just give it in front of your animal. Remember yesterday we had a discussion. You needed the three criteria. Possibly you needed to hold on to the bucket, hold on to the animal, and have Rosh of Aruba inside. That would be good according to everybody. The question was, if you only had two of the three, was that good as well? Abu mamalihu v'shochif l'fnei behem. But we said that you're allowed to go fill up the well, fill up the bucket from the well, or the pit, and toss it in front of your animal. And then the animal can go drink from the trough that you poured the water into, or the container that you poured the water into, and that's allowed. That's not a problem. Ravana says, in this situation, if you're not allowed to give the animal to drink directly, so you have to dump the water into some sort of a container in front of the animal, so then what's the purpose? How does the pasi biros help you? Chris says, why? What do you mean, how does it help you? Ma'uilo, it helps you, allow you to fill up the bucket. The malos mehen. So of course it helps you. He says, and that's not what Ravanan asked. Ravanan was asking Ella, he says, in this situation, ma'uil rosh of ruba shalpara, why do you need the head and most of the body of the cow inside the enclosure? If you're not concerned that the animal is going to move outside the enclosure and force you to, by accident, carry the bucket outside the enclosure, so then what do you need the entire animal to be inside? Rosh of Aruba to be inside. Even if not, there's no potential for you to go carry the bucket. So Gemara says, no, Omar Abaye, we had a whole discussion about this yesterday. He just alludes to it. Says, Hachamai Eskin, you know what the case was. Be'evus omeid b'rishus harabim. We're talking about that the trough is in the rishus harabim, but part of it is going into the Pasi Biros area, and the trough itself in the Rishus HaRabim is in and of itself the Rishus HaYachid, as we said. It's Kovo HaSorah. It has from the bottom of the trough to the top, there are walls all around it that are at least 10 tefachim tall. Again, 10 tefachim is not such a big amount. It's about a meter. So 10 tefachim is a distance up to your waist or something like that. And Kovo HaSorah V'roch HaVarbar has the Mechitza that's tall, 10 tefachim, and it has at least a 4x4 tefachim length and width to it to make into a separate rishus. Now it's a separate rishus, and the Braisa continues, and it says it's gavoa asar rochav above a roshu nichnas lebein a pasim v'chulei. So we're talking in the case where the trough is partially inside the pasim. You're allowed to go take the bucket and put it into the trough, but we're concerned that if you walk around on the side in the rishus harabim, even though you're carrying the bucket over this trough in the rishus hayochid, if you're walking there, you may come to see something wrong with the trough and by accident put down the bucket, and then you'll have put it down in the Rishus HaRabim, then you'll pick it up from the Rishus HaRabim and carry it back to Rishus HaYachin, you'll have done an Akira and an Anacha, and that was the problem. So that was a unique case that we were talking about. That's really just a quick summation of the end of yesterday's shir. Now the Gemara tells us two related dinim. Rabbi says the name of Rav, ain burginin babavel. Now we touched a little bit upon what burginin are. Burginin are ways to extend the area outside the tchum of a city. The city is defined in a certain way. We'll learn this later in the Masechta. And the city limits extend 70 and two-thirds amma beyond the city walls. And that's where the tchum really starts. That number 70 and two-thirds is made up from the chotzer of the Mishkan, which was 50 by 100, which is 5,000 square amos. And 5,000 square amos, if you had it as a perfect square, it would be 70 and two-thirds times 70 and two-thirds amos. And that's where this number 70 and two-thirds come from. In any event, that's where you'd normally start, the 2,000 amos of the tomb of the city. But let's say you had a hut, what is called a burgenin, within 70 and two-thirds amos of that extension of the city. So then it's as if you extended the city another 70 and two-thirds amos or less till the hut. And then you'd start the 2,000 amos of there. So if you had a series of huts, so then you could actually extend where the tomb of the city doesn't even yet get started. And that's what he's telling us here. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rav, says the name of Rav, that there is no concept of burgenin in Bavel. And we'll see, this is only for Bavel, as opposed to the rest of Chutz La'aretz, does have this concept of burgenin. The Gemara will explain why. However, below Pasi Biroz, the Chutz La'aretz, the rest of Chutz La'aretz doesn't have this kula of Pasi Biroz, but Bavel does allow this kula of Pasi Biroz to be used in Bavel. Of course, Burginin and Pasi Biroz are both good in Eretz Yisrael. Now, why did we not allow the Burginin in Bavel, and why do we not allow the Pasi Biroz in other areas of Chutz La'aretz, but we did allow them in Bavel? So Gemara says, Burginin b'Bavel, lo, the reason why you can't have Burginin in Bavel is because the shchichei bitke, because there are a lot of bitke. Rashi explains that bitke are these deluges of water. Bitke demaya, v'shatvilhu, and they're going to go and flood the area, including knocking down these Burginin. And therefore, hilkach lo chashivi midi, therefore they're not considered significant to be able to extend the city limits. That's what's true in Bavel, which is, again, a specific area of Chutz La'aretz. This is a specific din for Bavel, which seems to be very susceptible to this type of flooding. However, the rest of Chutz La'aretz isn't so susceptible, so therefore these Burginin will last over there, and therefore the rest of Chutz La'aretz can take advantage of this Burginin din. Why are Pasi Biroz in Chutz La'aretz low? However, the Pasi Biroz aren't allowed elsewhere in Chutz La'aretz, but they are allowed in Bavel. Lo shchichei b'sifta, because the whole purpose of the Pasi Biroz was a special kula to go up to Yerushalayim, or to go up to any other great mitzvah gathering, like a yeshiva. So in Bavel, which was a place of Talmidei Chachamim, there are certain dinim, for example, that are applicable in regards to Gittin, that are applicable in Bavel, because they're Talmidei Chachamim that aren't applicable in the rest of the world, the rest of Chutz La'aretz. So Bavel has Masiftis, so therefore, we need, just like to allow you to be Ola Regel in Eretz Yisrael, so we need to be allowed to be Ola to the yeshivas in Bavel. So therefore, they gave this special heter of Pasi Biroz in Bavel. But in the rest of Chutz La'aretz low, because the Lo Shrichim Sifta, Nebuch, there weren't a lot of yeshivas anyplace else. So this heter of Pasi Biroz, which is only for a Dvar Mitzvah, like Ola Regel, or to go to the yeshiva, wasn't needed. However, Aval Ivchav Dinan, but as I pointed out, the opposite is true, that in Bavel, they were allowed to use the Pasi Biroz, but not in Chutz La'aretz. And in Bavel, they weren't allowed to use the Burginin, but they were allowed to use them in the rest of Chutz La'aretz. That's the first version that we have. Ikad the Amre, the second version of this was that Amr Yiriyam Rav Amr Rav, that Yiriyam Rav said name of Rav, that neither of them are good in either Bavel or the rest of Chutz La'aretz. Ein Burginin, Upasi Biroz, that both the Burginin Heter, which is for Eretz Yisrael only, and the Pasi Biroz Heter is for Eretz Yisrael only, neither of them works, lo b'bavel v'lo b'chutz la'aretz. Neither works in either of the places. Now, why is that? We just explained why they should work, at least partially in Bavel and partially in Chutz La'aretz. So here, this opinion says differently. Burginin b'bavel lo, why did the Burginin not work in Bavel? Because that we explained. The shchichei bitke, because they had a lot of these flooding, it was prone to having these floods, and therefore the Burginin would get knocked down, and therefore the Burginin wouldn't be considered significant. But the first version had that it was good in the rest of Chutz La'aretz. But here, according to the second version, even the rest of Chutz La'aretz is no good. But Chutz La'aretz nami lo. Why? The shchichei ganve. We don't allow it in the rest of Chutz La'aretz because ganavim would come and take these burginin. They were like portable little huts, and people would be stealing them, and therefore they wouldn't last. And it's no different than if a flood destroyed it or if ganavim destroyed it, and therefore these burginin do not extend the city limits any place outside of Eretz Yisrael. Likewise, the Pasi Biros don't work in either one. The Pasi Biros, Bevavel, Lo, the Pasi Biros don't work in Bavel. Why not? The Shriche Maya, because you don't need them. As opposed to the first version, which said the Bavel needed them to have the kids, when they go to yeshiva, to have watering places, but that's assuming that they didn't have a lot of water available. But Bavel, which is a low-lying land, had lots of water available. So they didn't need to take advantage of this Heter Pasi Biros because there was plenty of water around. So therefore, that's why the Pasi Biros were not allowed in Bavel. And as we said previously, the Chutz Laretz, Nami Lo, the rest of Chutz Laretz, it wasn't needed. The Lo Shlichei Masifta, because they didn't have a yeshivas they were going to, that they needed to take this Kula Pasi Biros, similar to the Ole Regalim, or Ole Yeshivas, it didn't apply in the rest of Chutz Laretz. So according to the second version, neither Pasi Biros nor Burgenin were allowed in either Bavel or in Chutz Laretz. Amalei Rechista says to Mori Brei de Rav Huna, who is Brei de Rav Yirmi Rabba. This is the grandson of Rav Yirmi Rabba, who just was the Baal Maimir that we just said in the name of Rav. And Rav Chista says to the grandson of Rav Yirmi Rabba, Amrei, they say over that Asisu mi Barnish, the people are able to go from Barnish, Lebei Knishta de Doniel, to the famous Beis Knesses of Doniel, which is a long distance apart. They have a Tlosa Parsa. It's 3 Parsa. Again, we mentioned many times that Parsa is 4 mil. A mil is 2,000 amos, which is about a kilometer. So this was 12 kilometers. They have a Tlosa Parsa. They traveled well more than 2,000 amos. This is 12 times 2,000 amos. This is 24,000 amos b'Shabbos. So they traveled this huge distance on Shabbos, well what should have been outside the Tchum, and Amai Samchisu. How are they allowed to travel all the way from the city of Barnish to the Beit Knishta of Daniel? They're going well beyond the Tchum of Barnish. Ah, you're going to tell me, Aburkinin, you're going to tell me, you grandson of Rav Yirmi Bar Abba, who Rav Yirmi Bar Abba was the Baal Memra who said you can't use Burgenin, so that can't be. Ha'amar Avua Davua, your grandfather, your Zaidi said, Mishmei the Rabbi, name of Rabbi, ain't Burgenin Babavel. So how do you allow people to go from your town Barnish to the Beit Knishta of Daniel, which is 24,000 amos away, 12 mil, 3 parsa away? So he answers him back, Nofach v'achvile hanu misvosa. He showed him. Mori showed Rav Chista that there were these misvosa. Rashi explains that misvosa are ayaros charevos, are destroyed cities. V'nisharu shom mechitzos min habatim, but it still retains certain partitions, certain mechitzos from those houses. And the Gemara in Perek Ketzad Ma'avrin says that lo nifritza, they weren't breached. In other words, they still were able to, so to say, expand the city. And even though they're not a house in usage, they still were the equivalent of super sturdy Burgenin. And therefore, the Mivla and Bishivan Amma Vishraim, you can find these types of runes every 70 2/3 Amma. So even though Burgenin are no good, because the Ganovim would steal the Burgenin in Chutz Laretz, or that the waters would flood the Burgenin and carry them away, but these sturdier Misavasas would not. And therefore, it was a perfectly valid extension of the city. So technically, Barnish Tchum kept on going all the way to the Beit Knishta of Daniel. That's what Mori, who was the grandson of Yirmi Bar Abba, said to Rav Chista. Rav Chista, Dorish Mori Bar Mar. Now, I don't think this Mori Bar Mar is the same. Mori was the grandson of Yirmi Bar Abba, but it's somewhat coincidental that they're both mentioned over here. But Rav Chista said to him, said that Dorish Mori Bar Mar, that Mori Bar Mar said, my Dersiv, what does the Pasuk mean? And here we're going to go off into an agadic type of analysis of this Pasuk. So the Pasuk tells us, it's a Pasuk from Tehillim, L'chol Tichla, for every item, Ra'isi Kate, every item has an end to it, has certain dimensions to it. However, Rechava Mitzvoschem Od, but David HaMelech says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your Torah, the mitzvos, they're limitless, they're infinity. David Zahamara David, David said this, however, below Perisho, he didn't explain exactly what this infinity concept of Torah was. Amaru Eov, Eov said a similar idea, below Perisho, and he also didn't explain it. Likewise, Amaru Yecheskel, Yecheskel made a similar statement, below Perisho, he also didn't explain it. And finally, Achabo Zechariah ben Ido, the great Navi Zechariah ben Ido came along, O Perisho, he explained it. So we have these four great individuals who made a statement, and the Mefarshim, the Mashal, bring down that has deep concepts over here that we're discussing. We're just going to learn it straightforward as the story that the Gemara relates, or the Agadita that the Gemara relates, but it has much, much deeper meaning. So David HaMelech said, Amor David v'lo perisho. David didn't explain his statement when he said, Dichsim, l'chol tichlo, for every item, ra'isi ketz, has a dimension to it, a finite dimension to it. However, ruchava mitzvos chamot, but your mitzvos don't have any finite dimension to them. Likewise, Amor Eov v'lo perisho. Where did Eov say it? What pasuk did Eov use? We only had the pasuk so far that David HaMelech used from Tillim. So Dichsim, it says in Eov, Aruka me'eretz, mida u'ruchava mine yom. That the Torah is wider or longer than any width that you can measure, and it's wider than even the seas. So therefore, this is also without boundaries, without dimensions. Similarly, Amor Yechezkel v'Pirsho, Yechezkel came along, the great Navi Yechezkel came along, and he also said a similar idea about Torah. Dosiv, he said, by Yifros Osol Lefanai, the Kodesh Baruch Hu spread out the Torah in front of me. He's referring here to a vision that he had with a Sefer Torah, a scroll of some sort. The he kesuva ponim the ochor. There was writing on both the front and on the back. The kosuv eleha kinim, the hege, the he. And there were written on it three types of things, which now the Gemara will darshan as an aside. This kinim, hege, this he, this voy, and he. Gemara will now have an aside to explain what these are, but the first part is the critical part for our drasha right now, that Yechezkel said that this Sefer Torah, or this cloth, was laid out in front of me, but it didn't give dimensions to it. By the way, Gemara says, what are these kinim, this hege, and this he? So the kinim, that refers to zu peranusan shot tzadikim olam hazeh. This refers to the difficulties that tzadikim will have in this world. We know the famous Gemara elsewhere that tells us that tzadikim are happy to get their punishment in this world and save all of their schusim and not be punished in the world to come. Much better to get punishments in this world, which are relatively minimal, than Rahman al-Islam to have to be punished in Gehenna, which is much, much more difficult. V'cheinu Omer, and where do we see that this kinim means this? So the pasuk says, in Yechezkel, kina hi v'konenuha. This is a dirge, and you'll sing this dirge. What does it mean? Hege, vohege. So, zu matin schor shel tzadikim le'osid lavo. This is a reference to the great reward that's waiting for the tzadikim in the world to come. That's the best place. You don't want to get your reward in this world because you're going to be shortchanged, right? You do a mitzvah, so a mitzvah in this world has no way to pay it. They give you a $1 billion check, you're still selling yourself short for the mitzvah of putting on tefillin. So you would rather prefer to get all your rewards in the world to come. So that's what hege means. Rashi explains that hege is a lashon of simcha. And therefore, Chen Omer, Alei Higayon Bechinan. So this Hege, this Simcha, should be with a harp. So it, again, describes something that's good, that the reward for the Tzadikim will be waiting for them in the world to come. What does he mean? Vahi, and this he. So Zuhi Perunusan Shal Rishayim Lasid Lavo. This is a reference to the fact that the Rishayim are going to get klep in the world to come. They're going to go to Gehenna. V'chein Omer, as the pasuk says, Hova Al Hova Tavo. So you're going to have one terrible problem happening on one terrible problem. So that's a reference to the Rishayim in the world to come. That was the aside on these three things that Yechezkel spoke about. So the first three, David HaMelech, Eov, and Yechezkel, all describe the Torah as being limitless. And along comes Zechariah ben Iddo, Achabah Zechariah ben Iddo, Persho. He explained a little bit better. He gave the dimensions here. And he says, the pasuk says, that when Zechariah had this vision, so Vayim Elai, Mo'at Torah, Hashem said to him, what do you see, Zechariah? V'omer, so Zechariah responded to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says, Ani roe megillah ofa. I see this megillah that is ofa. Ofa means that it's folded over on itself. So it's going to be doubled up. And how big was it? So here he defines exactly how big it is. This is a reference to the Torah. So Arka, the length of this cloth, Esrim ba'ama, was 20 amma. V'rochbo, and the width of this cloth was Eser ba'ama, was 10 amma. So this folded over cloth was 20 by 10 amos. Now, Mark continues and explains this. V'chi poshtus lo, if you unfold it, so now you're going to have havilei esrin v'yesrin. It's now going to be unfolded. It's going to be 20 by 20 because it was folded over. So instead of being 10 by 20, you now extended it to 20 by 20. Uksiv, hik suva panim v'yocher. And as we pointed out, it was written on both sides. So now, v'chi kolfus lo, if you split it, and in other words, unfolded it, so to say, so you now have the front and the back both visible in front of you, it's going to add another 20 amos in its length. So kami havila, so it's now going to be arbayin b'yesrim, it's going to be 40 by 20. So 40 amos by 20 amos adds to a total area of 800 square amos. Uksiv, mi modad bishalo mayim, who measures out, modad means measuring out, bishalo means in his fist, water, the Shemayim Bazeres Tikein, and the Shemayim with his Zeres. The Zeres we had previously on Dav Dalad, Rashi points out, means a half of an Amma. So a fist is a half of an Amma as well, and this Shemayim is a half of an Amma. So you have the dimensions of the Yam, the Mayim, and the Shemayim, each of them is a half an Amma. So if you have a square that's a half an amma by a half an amma, so the total square amos of that square is going to be 0.5 times 0.5 is going to be 0.25. So it's going to be a quarter of a square amma. That's going to be the total dimensions of the entire world. Now, we just said that the Torah was 800 square amos. Nimtza, kol olam kula, the entire world, which is represented by the 0.25 square amos, in other words, a quarter of a square amma, is going to be echad mishloshes alofim umasayim b'Torah. It's going to be 1/3200th of the entire Torah. The Torah, we said, was 800. This is a quarter of a square amma. So the world, which is a quarter of an amma, is going to be 1/3200th of the 800 square amos representing the Torah. Again, this is a very deep esoteric subject, and all the Mefarshim discuss this in greater detail, but this is what we see, that the dimensions of the Torah are finally described by Zechariah ben Iddo, compared in this relative comparison to the world, and the Torah is 3,200 times more than the world. Okay. We go weiter. Amar Ruchis, Ruchis said another statement that Dorish Mari Barmar, another statement that Mari Barmar said was, Maidus, it was the Pasuk that says, Vinei. Now this is a prophecy that Yirmiyahu had, and it says, he saw in his prophecy, Vinei Shnei Dudoei Te'enim. He saw two duds, two pots that had inside of them Te'enim, had inside of them figs. One was very good, one was very bad. Muad Vnei Hechel Shem, they were set up in front of the Hechel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hadud Echod. It's not, we have the Girsai. Ha-echod, but the right pasuk in Yirmiyah is Dud Echod, one of the Duds, had Te'enim Tovos Ma'od, Ki Te'ene, return to the Amud Beis, Ha-Bakuros. In other words, one of them has very good ripe dates that are delicious, the best. Va-Dud, again, we have the gear, so Ha-Echod, it should be Va-Dud Echod, and one Dud had Te'enim Ros Ma'od, had very, very, very inferior figs, very bad figs. Ashalo Se'achal No Me'rod, you couldn't be eaten, they were so bad. Now, what is the Navi Yirmiyah telling us over here? He saw these good figs and these bad figs. So Gemara says, Te'enim atovos, elu tzadikim gemurim. The Te'enim tovos, that refers to the great tzadikim. These are the total tzadikim. Te'enim aros, elu rishayim gemurim. The Te'enim that are bad, that refers to rishayim that are gemurim. But even the rishayim are gemurim. You're going to tell me they're no good? V'shem atomar, ovad sivram uvotel sikuyam. These Rishonim are totally too far gone. There's absolutely no hope for them. They have zero future. So is that what you mean? No. Talmud Lomar is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that tells us Hadudoyim Nostnurech, that even these Rishonim Gemurim, even these very, very inferior Te'enim, Elu Ve'elu Asidin Shitnu Reach, all Dudoyim will eventually have Reach. In other words, even the Rishonim can do tshuva, and even the Rishonim have future. Darash Rava, Rava further darshan. My decision, what does the pasuk mean? Now we started darshan about these dudoyim, so we'll darshan a little bit further. Ha dudoyim nos nureach. What does this pasuk Shira Shira mean? That the dudoyim give off some sort of a reyach. Now here, the dudoyim, it's a play on the words. These dudoyim are a reference to violets. So these dudoyim give off reyach. This is a reference. Elu bachuri yisro shlo tamu tam chayt. Here, it's referring to these dudoyim are people that never tasted sin. In other words, these are Tamidei Chacham, these are young people that are Bachuri Yisrael, that are perfect. They never did sin. V'al Pesachenu kol Megodim. The Pasuk continues and it says that their openings are Megodim, their fine fruits. So what does this refer to? Elu Benos Yisrael, these are the great women of Klal Yisrael. Shemagidos Pesachen lebaleyen, that they go and tell their husbands that they're no longer in Nida. And in this way, they don't, Rachman al-Islan, end up doing a sin. Alternative, Loshan Acher, when it says over here, this Megodim, Isha Ogdos Pischeil and Baleim, that they keep their openings closed except for their husbands. In other words, they're not Mazana, they don't, Rachman al-Islan, do inappropriate actions and they act fully appropriately. Then we continue, Da'ashtin, Chadoshim Gam Yishonim, Dodi Tzofanto Loch, Chadoshim Gam Yishonim, this is new and old. Dodi Tzofanti Loch, I've saved them for you. This is a conversation. Hoshir Hashirim is a conversation between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So this Knesset Yisrael, Klal Yisrael says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribo Shalom, Harbei Gezeros Gozarti Alatzmi. We have gone well above and beyond what the Torah demanded from us. We made additional rabbinical restrictions. Yoser Mimashi Gozarto Olai. More than the Torah says, we made many, many additional restrictions and we fulfilled them and kept them in order to honor you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Furthermore, Ruchisto once said to one of the Talmidei Chacham that would learn Agadita with him and would arrange all the brisos in front of him that had Agadita dealings with them. And he said, Mi shmi aloch, have you ever heard? Chadoshim gam yishonim mahu. Rav Chisda asked this Talmud, no, in all your discussions and learning about Agadita, did you ever come up with an understanding of what this Chadoshim gam yishonim means, new and old? What does that mean? There's a beautiful sefer, Chadoshim gam yishonim, on brachos. We find many of the Svarim have their names from Shir Hashirim. In any event, it says, what is this Chadoshim Gam Yishonim? So this Talmud Torah Ruchis to Omalei, Elu Mitzvos Kalos, Elu Mitzvos Chamuros. This Chadoshim and Yishonim refer to Mitzvos that were more easy and Mitzvos that are more difficult. Ruchis didn't like this. Omalei said, V'chi Torah, Pa'amim, Pa'amim, Nitna. You seem to imply Chadoshim and Yishonim that they're new and old, that these were given at this time and these were given at this time. The Torah was given on our Sinai. So that can't be it. Ella, this is a reference to over here, the Raises versus the Rabbonins. Ella Halolu Midivrei Torah, Halolu Midivrei Sofrim. The Yishonim, that was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chadashim, that's new additional things that Klai Yisrael, the Chachamim, have added on to expand and strengthen their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Darash Rava, Rava Darshan the following. Might just say, what does the pasuk mean when it says, V'yosher Mehema B'ni Hizor Aso Swarm Harbi V'gomer. And now we're Darshan from the 12th parak in Koheles. Whole parak of Kehelas, we've darshan many times previously, very important parak. We just had this in the Daf Yomi not that long ago. So here, what does this pasuk mean when Kehelas, Shlomo Melech says, be careful, my son, you have to write a lot of svarim. What does that mean? B'ni hizoyer b'divrei sofrim. You should be very careful with the divrei sofrim, the words of the Chazal. Yosim divrei Torah. Even more careful than you have to be with divrei Torah. Shedivrei Torah, yesh ben aseh velos aseh. The Torah is very straightforward. This is an aseh, this is a los aseh. That's it. This is your punishment. This you get malchus for. This you get. Very, very straightforward. However, divrei sofrim, you have to be very careful with the words of Chazal. Kol over al divrei sofrim, because if somebody transgresses the words of Chazal, it's not just a lot that you're over. Yechayv misa, because you're going against the words of Chazal. You're going to tell me, Shema Tomer, you may say, im yesh bohem mamish, if the words of Chazal are so important, so b'nei malo nechtevu, why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu go put them in the Torah itself? So Amakwa, because the pasuk says, "Aso svarim harbe ein kates." That's what Shlomo Melech says. There'd be too many svarim. Instead of having 24 books of Tanakh, we'd have hundreds and thousands, and an unknown number of books would be required to write down all the laws. Then the pasuk continues and says, "Velag harbe yigias boser." What is this a reference to? So Rapapa, Amar Rapapa, Berei Rav Acha Bar Ada, Mishmei Rav Acha Bar Ula. They said the following, Malame should call him Malig. They take the word lahag and they make it into lag, ridicule, scorn. So anybody, Malame should call him Malig, anybody makes fun of the words of the Chacham, the rabbis, what do they know? Nidom b'tzor rotzachas. He's going to have, Yigiyas Basar is going to be what comes out of the flesh of a person, is tzoa, is excrement, so they're going to be punished with burning tzoa. We find this punishment is described at the end of the Kamsa Bar Kamsa Gemara in Gittin. So it says that also Ish is going to be punished b'tzoa rosachas. He's in burning excrement. Maskev lo Rava. Rava tells us, wait a second, miksiv lag, you're dashing the pasuk v'lahag as if it was la'ag with an ayin, but that's not what it says. Lagsiv. So therefore, you have to dash it the following way. Elo, kol ahogev ahead. He explains the word lahag not being from mal'ig, but lahag is a lotion of hoge, Rashi says. You go and delve into something, call a hoge behem, b'chol shosh odom, mechazer b'divrei Torah. Every time you learn Torah, motzei behem tam, toim tam boser. You can always find something new. person, I was always told my Rabban, you know, how much chocolate cake you eat? A person who loves something, so you have 5 pieces of chocolate cake, 10 pieces of chocolate cake, after a while you say, I don't want to see another piece of chocolate cake. But a good pshat and tosos, you can hear that forever. Oh, you add another beautiful piece of Torah, another beautiful piece of Torah. You can never be satiated with Torah. Nobody ever said, oh, I'm filled up with Torah, I had enough Torah, I'm done. Chocolate cake, yes. Torah, no. That's called a hogeban. Every time you look and delve into the Torah, toim tam bas, you're always going to have new delicious flesh. Tanya Rabbanan, famous story about Rabbi Akiva. Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva, there once was a story with Rabbi Akiva. This is Rabbi Akiva towards the end of his life, Rachman al-Slam, before he became one of the Asara Uge Malchus, the terrible tragedy of Rabbi Akiva's destruction and loss. Really parallels the destruction and loss of Klal Yisrael, with the loss of Beitar, that was the last hope from the Bayis Sheni, and we still are in Golus from that terrible destruction. So Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva, there once was a Ma'aseh Rabbi Akiva. Shaya Chavush Beis Hasurim, the Romans put him in jail. They put him in jail a couple of times. V'haya Rabbi Yehoshua Agarsi Mishoso, and he was having his needs taken care of by his Talmud, Rabbi Shua Garsi. Rashi explains, Garsi either is the name of a place, or that he was involved, Shoya Tochein Grisim, he would grind up grits, he'd grind up the grains, that's why he's known as the Garsi. In any event, this was the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and he would take care of his needs. Every day they would allow this Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua Garsi, to go bring Rabbi Akiva a certain amount of water. The jail didn't provide meals, so somebody had to provide them, or else you'd rot in jail and you'd die. So he brought in his usual ration of water that they would let him bring it in. Yom Echad, however, the guards, Mitzo Shomer Beisu Asurim, the guards saw him and said, you have too much water, I'm low. You brought in too much water today. The guard was probably just cruel. It was a regular amount of water. He said, you're bringing in too much. What do you want to do? You're trying over here to dig a hole. You're trying to make the ground softer by pouring in water so you can dig a hole and tunnel out. So, he poured out half of it. He allowed him to bring the half full pail into Rabbi Akiva. No, he goes inside the Rabbi Akiva. Shabbat's Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, he didn't give me enough water. He tells his Talmud, I'm a little Yeshua, ain't it to your dash, you know I'm old. Rabbi Akiva lived to be 120 years old. This was towards the end of his life. It was right before Nebuchadnezzar. He was flayed in front of the Romans, and he dies with saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He dies with Echad. So Yeshua tells his Talmud, Yeshua Garsi, ain't it to your dash, I'm an old man. If you don't bring me the right amount of food and water, I'm going to die. I have no other source over here. You're my sole source of sustenance. So, how come you only brought me half a pail of water today? So Sochlo kol osam ora. So Yeshua Gaisi tells his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, what happened? The guard spilled out half of it. So Rabbi Akiva said, nevertheless, tell me, Mayim, give me the water that you have, she'eto yodai, and I'll use it to do netilas yadayim. And I won't drink. I have only to do netilas yadayim today, and I won't have any water. So Yeshua said to him, Lishtos ain't magin. You don't have enough water to drink, and you're going to take the little water that you have, Lito Yodecha magin, you're going to wash your hands of that water? So Rabbi Akiva said, yes, absolutely. Moa said, I have no choice, because Shechayivim Aleya Misa, because Chazal said that I'm supposed to do wash until Sidayim. And if I don't follow Chazal, as we said previously, the punishment is Misa. So it's much better, mutav almost misas asmi. It's better for me to actually die, so to say, at my own hands. In other words, I'll die because I didn't drink enough water, rather than I die because I drank water, but I was over the words of Chazal. I'd rather not go against the words of my friends. Now, Tosus points out that this already was totally lifnei mishuras hadin, because we had in the Gemara not that long ago, where we said that there are arba dvarim p'turim b'machaneh. We said that there are four things that an army doesn't have to do, and one of them was the Tehillas Yadayim. So Rabbi Akiva was Allah Chazkama V'Kama. He didn't have to do this in Tehillas Yadayim, and Tosu said that he was Machmer Al Atzmo. He went way before, lifnei mishuras hadin. He went above and beyond what the minimal requirements were in the jail situation. So he refused to go against what his Chaverim said. Amru, so the rabbi said about Rabbi Akiva, Lo Toam Klum. He ate nothing, achiv yilo mayim, until his Talmud, Yeshua Garsi, gave him the water to wash his hands, v'noto yodav, and he washed his hands, and then he ate, but he didn't have anything to drink. Kishishamu chachamim badavar, when the rabbis heard about how great Rabbi Akiva was in listening and adhering to their gezeros, so he said, ma b'ziknusukach, he's 120 years old, he's an old man, and he's following it like this. Imagine what Rabbi Akiva was in his heyday. V'yalduso alachas kama v'kama. Rabbi Akiva was the leader of Klal Yisrael from the age of 80 to 120 for 40 years. So imagine how great he was. These Chachamim only saw him now at the end of his life. Imagine how great he must have been, how powerful an individual he must have been. Bialduso alachas kama v'kama when he was younger. Look what he does in jail. imagine what he did when he wasn't in jail. Shalom is a surah machas kama kama, how great Rabbi Akiva was. Gemara continues, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Bishar Shetikin Shlomo Eruvin Untila Sedayim, at the moment when Shlomo Melech arranged this dinim of Eruvin, and the dinim of the Tila Sedayim, Yotz the Baskel V'yomra, HaKadosh Baruch was very happy, and a Baskel came out and said, Bini, Imchoch Mibecha, my son, referring to Shlomo Melech's Takonos, he says, if you're a smart person, Yismach, Libi Gam Oni, I too will be very happy. But Omer, furthermore, the Pasuk says, Chacham Bini V'samach Libi, you should be smart, my son, and you'll make me very happy. Shiva Harfi Davar, and I will be able to say something to the people that do wrong things. Look at my Shlomo Melech. Look at the Xeris the Klai Yisrael follow. We continue dashing from various Pilkim and Shira Shirim. Dora Shua Vamaitis, what does the Pasuk mean? Shira Shirim Luchod Dodi, Neitse Asodin, Nolino Bakforim. This Pasuk, what does it mean? We're going to homiletically darshan it. Nashkimo Lakromim, Nira Imporcha Gefim, Pitachas Mother, Hineitsu Arimonim, Shometain Ez Dodai Loch. So this Pasuk is talking about go out to the field and see if everything is blooming and blossoming. So we're going to darshan each word. Luchod Dodi, Neitse Asodin, my beloved, go out to the field. What is that reference to? Omer Knes Yisrael, Fnei Kosh Baruch Hu, Klai Yisrael, Tosek Kosh Baruch Hu, Ribon Shalom, Al Tidineni, Kiosh V'Krachim, please don't judge me like I live in the city, because in the city, there's lots of, opportunities for a person to sin. Sheish Ben Gezel, Varayus, Ushua Shav, Ushua Sheker, all sorts of immoralities, all sorts of terrible things, thievery, and immorality and all sorts of false shvuos, they're in the city. So don't judge me like a city dweller. Instead, neitze hasoda, let's go out to the field and then judge me as I'm living in the field. Bo vereko tamidei chachamim she'oskim b'Torah mitoch hadrach. Look at your people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they're willing to go and live in the utmost poverty and live out in the Yenemsveld with no cultural benefits of living in the city, because all they want to do is study your Torah. And they do this out of shas hadrach, under very difficult circumstances. Then it says, lo nina b'kforim, let's go and dwell in the kfarim, in the small villages. Al tikri bakfarim, ela bakofrim. So play on the word kfarim to be kofrim. Kofrim are people that are blasphemers. Bo vi'aracha osom shishpatu lem tova. I'll show you those people who you gave them a lot of good stuff. The hein kofru b'cha. And they nebuch, they rebelled against you. They were kofru you. They said that they no longer believe in you. Then the pasuk continues, Nashkim alakramim, let us go out to the vineyards. Elu bati knesios and bati midrashos. This is a euphemism for the bati knesios and bati midrashos. Nira in paruch hagef. Let's see if the vineyards have gone and given forth their flowers. So this is a reference to elu bali mikwa. These are the students that are learning chumash. Pitach hasmadar. Have the grapes started to open up? Smother's an early stage of the grape. This is a reference to Elabali Mishnah, the younger people. They get more than just Chumash. Now they're up to the stage of learning Mishnah. And finally, Heinetzor Rimonim, the pomegranates, Chai Yisrael is referred to often as, we just had this the other day, as even the worst among us are filled with beautiful mitzvos, like this pomegranate that has the seeds. So Elu Bali Gemara, this is a reference to the Talmidim. They're more mature and they're learning Gemara. And finally, the pasuk concludes, "Shometein is dodai loch." There, I will give you my love. What is this a reference to? Arach kvodi vegodli shevach bonai uvnosai. The glory of Klai Yisrael is these young people that are learning Torah. I'm Rav Nuna. Rav Nuna says, "My decision was it mean when Shlomo Melech said vayidabish shloshes aloth in Moshe?" Shlomo Melech said 3,000 parables by he shiro, but his words of song are chamish of elef. They were 1,005. What is this reference to? Malami Shomer Shlomo al kol davar davar shel Torah shloshes aloth Moshe. Shlomo Melech was able to say 3,000 parables on every dvar Torah al kol davar davar shel sofrim, and the words of Chazal chamish of elef tamim. He was able to give 1,005 tamim for every one of the mitzvos of the rabbanim. Darish Rabbi further said, "My decision was about someone who says Vioser Shayako Alis Chacham Od Li Medas Es Om VeIzein VeChiker Tikei Mishalom Harbe Shlomo Melech, which is Koheles. He taught a lot of things to Klai Yisrael, and he listened to them, and he brought out many, many Mishalim. So, what does this mean? So, again, we dash in each series of the words. Li Medas Es Om. He taught the people Torah. The Agri B'Simoni Tamim. He taught them the Tamim of the Torah. So, this is the trap." The Asbara b'may d'domile, and he explained to them all sorts of mishalim to be able to help them understand things better. Rashi explains over here the simonim of the tamim, kavala mesoris the simonim bein b'tevos hamikra bein begirs shomishli. He taught them not only the chumish but also in the mishnayis. He taught them many hidden things. Furthermore, it says, "V'izim v'chiker tikei mishalim harbe." He listened to them, and he made for them many mishalim. So, Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Elazar, should be Elazar, not Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Ula, Amar Rabbi Elazar, "B'tchila haisa Torah dome l'kvifo shein loznaim." Originally, the Torah was to the people, to the common people. They couldn't grab onto it. It was like a basket that they didn't have any handles to grab onto. It was too complex for them. But what did Shlomo Melch do? He listened to the people, saw that they couldn't follow it. So, achivo Shlomo v'osu loznaim. He made handles for understanding the Torah. In other words, he arranged it in certain ways, and he taught them in certain ways to make them be able to pick up the Torah. In other words, they could grab onto the Torah. Then the pasuk says, "Shir Hashirim kivutzo sav tal talim." His hair is very curvy. What does this mean? You can learn from every little coats, every little point, even the tagim on the osios, the little crowns that you have on the certain letters, you can learn mounds and mounds. We have the famous story that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was up on Har Sinai, was shown the future, and he saw this Talmud Echad that was darshing all sorts of things, and they were darshing them from the little tags of the tagim of the Sifrei Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Why are you giving the Torah to me? Why don't you give it to Rabbi Akiva?" And Moshe Rabbeinu had a Chalisha Sadas. Rabbi Akiva seemed to be so far advanced of what even Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand. So finally, in the Shia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows Moshe Rabbeinu that Rabbi Akiva says, "This is Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. We don't understand this. This is Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai." And Moshe Rabbeinu sort of said, was resuscitated. He didn't feel bad. He says, "Oh, they're still learning the Torah that I got on Har Sinai." Bottom line is that the Torah is vast, and Shlomo HaMelech was able to go and bring out many things to the people. Now we continue darshan in the pasuk, but this is a good break point for us, so we'll stop over here. That concludes today's shir.